We have been journeying together this fall in a series or a theme on God's call for us to be holy like Himself. And we've learned that that call is a personal call. I want you to be holy like I am holy, and I know if you love me, you'll want to be like me. And we've seen different aspects of holiness, and I know that it's been a surprise to some of you that the biblical theme of holiness is not as legalistic or rigid or self-compressing as we often approach the theme. But it invites us to be like God in the world. We talked about developing habits of holiness, how the essence of holiness is intimacy with God and beholding Him. We become like Him. And last Sabbath, we learned how the purpose of God's holiness is to make a difference in the world, and that God extends, God manifests His holiness in the world through people like you and I. That we have no holiness apart from God extended to us in Jesus. But the reason why Jesus extends His holiness to us is not just for ourselves, but that we can have a powerful influence in an unholy and an unworthy world. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we come again to Your Word, we orient our thinking again to the holy, to understand it, to touch it, to experience it, to desire it. We pray that Your Holy Spirit will come as we open Your holy Word, that Your holy presence will lead us to be like Yourself. We thank You in the name of Jesus. Amen. They wanted to trap Jesus. They wanted to catch Jesus. Jesus had rattled them so often, so many times they had asked Him questions thinking that they might trap Him, but Jesus always had a way of getting out of those traps. And so they sat back and they said, we've got to trap this guy. We've got to catch him in his own words. We've got to find the way at this Jesus. And so they decided, well, let's butter him up. Let's tell him how much we enjoy him and what he's doing and how he's a man of integrity and he doesn't really care about what people think of him and he's a straight shooter. Let's butter him up. And then when we buttered him up, let's ask him one of those no-win questions. That if you go this way, you're trapped. If you go that way, you're trapped. And so they gathered around Jesus and they buttered him up just as buttery as they could get him. And then they pounced with that no-win question. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar? By the way, our administrators in Armenia are asking that question. They were asking me, or telling me, that their treasury is struggling with whether they should continue to pay their pastors cash or they should pay their pastors in an official way where the government then knows how much their pastors earn. Or in Sochi, Russia, when I sat across the table from three officials from the community and religious affairs, and one of them asked me, they said to me, you know, this mark of the beast, what do you think of the mark of the beast? You know, the charismatics and the evangelical Christians, they come and they say the mark of the beast is the number that we're assigning to all of our citizens so that we can tax them. What do you think the mark of the beast is? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar? You know, it wasn't just a question back then. It's a question that the church is being asked today. The church is asking today. Well, Jesus said, show me a coin. So they produced one of those coins and He said, well, whose picture is on that coin? Caesar's. And whose inscription is on that coin? Caesar's. And while the word Caesar was still ringing in their ears, He said, well, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. They were trapped in their own words, shocked and amazed at what Jesus had said and how He had answered. But Jesus didn't stop there. That wasn't the full message. Jesus had a very defining, very powerful truth He wanted to focus in the minds of those men and women that day. Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but give to God what belongs to God. Give to God what belongs to God, Jesus says. That's the most important point that followed His words, a defining truth. And just as Caesar's image and inscription were on that coin, God's image is written on you. And God's inscription of truth is written in your life as well. God's image and inscription are on every one of us. We are made in His image. We are inscribed in His truth when we accept Him as our Savior, when we're buried in the waters of baptism. And for our very reason for being in the world, our very reason for existence in the world is to reflect His likeness in the world. That's what holiness is all about, as He conforms us to Himself. No truth is more basic to that. More truth is more potent than that. Giving to God what is God's. That's what holiness is all about. And it touches every area of our life. Giving to God what is God's touches every area of our life. It touches our bodies. It touches our time. It touches our money. It touches our talents, our opportunities, and our influence. It touches every area of our life. And it's a simple formula I want us to ponder for a moment here. If holiness is giving to God what is God's, then whatever belongs to God must be holy. If it belongs to God, it must be holy. It can't be profane. It can't be common. It can't be polluted. It cannot be unclean. If it belongs to God, it must be holy, like God is holy. Would you agree? Now let's begin today, as we unravel this over the next few weeks, let's begin today a very practical way of seeing how what belongs to God is holy because it's an association to Him. Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30. Whatever belongs to God is holy. Leviticus 27, verse 30. Leviticus 27, verse 30. Here, God, speaking through Moses, He says, thus, Leviticus 27, verse 30, thus, all the tithe of the land, of the seed of the land, or of the fruit of the tree is the Lord's. It is what? What is it? Holy. Let's say it together. It is holy. I want to hear it together. It is holy. So, God is talking about holy money here now. All right? Holy money. He's talking about holy tithe. Down there in verse 32, He says, every tenth part of the herd of the flock, whatever passes under the rod, the tenth one shall be what? Holy. All right? It shall be holy to the Lord. Now, this reference to holy tithe or holy money comes at the close of a whole book that focuses or revolves around the idea of being holy. The book of Leviticus focuses on the presence of God. It focuses on the call to holiness, to be like God in the world. And then it focuses on the power of sacrifice, the power of God's sacrifice in our behalf to cleanse us and to enable us to be holy like God in the world. In fact, the book of Leviticus could be termed by the motto, be holy for I am holy. In fact, that's where Peter got that idea that we started this whole series out in, where we read in 1 Peter 1, I want you to be holy like I am holy. And I know if you love me, you're going to want to be like me in the world. All right? So where did Peter get that? He got it from the book of Leviticus. And the book of Leviticus is filled with this call of God for us to be holy. And holy is always in association with Him. And so we have this call to be holy. And Leviticus 27, this chapter here that we're looking at, Leviticus 27, reminds us of some of the great themes. It kind of capsules all the great themes of holiness that fill this book. It points to the reality that holiness is more than a matter of a divine call. But holiness has to do with total consecration of our life to God's service. Thus, you will find in the book of Leviticus that holiness has to do with who you are yourself. Holiness has to do with family living. Holiness has to do with our diet. Holiness has to do with our sexuality. Holiness has to do with our interpersonal relationships. And holiness has to do with our possessions. Now, on July 29, 1996, British Olympic sprinting champion Linford Christie walked out of the Atlanta Summer Olympic Games having failed to defend his 1992 Olympic gold medal and his reputation as the fastest man on earth. Now, Christie did not fail to win gold because someone ran faster. He didn't fail to win gold because he stumbled and fell. He didn't fail to win gold because he got sick and couldn't show up. When it came down to the most significant 10 seconds in sports, when it came down to it, Christie was there on the starting blocks like all the other runners, ready for that 10-second sprint. But he made a false start. Not just once, but twice. And he was disqualified. So he leaves the Atlanta Games, not able to defend, bring pride to the British reputation about being the fastest runner, all because he made a false start. A false start. I suggest to you that the history of the church's handling of a lot of issues, from lifestyle to worship to tithing to stewardship, is laden with false starts. How one begins depends on where you end. If you begin over here, you will wind over there. If you begin over here, you will wind over there. Most of us will say the principle of tithing is very apparent in the Scriptures. Abraham returned tithe to Melchizedek, that mysterious priest that mirrored Jesus Christ in the book of Hebrews. And we know that Jacob gave tithes to the Lord. And then we're reminded that Jesus says, don't neglect tithing while you focus on important moral issues like justice and mercy and righteousness. And we can all quote Malachi, that says, if you're not paying tithe, you're robbing God. And you know what? You're cursed with a curse, and you're not going to be blessed. So, hey, this is one of the places in the Bible where God says, prove me. And so we begin that process of proving God that if we return tithe, we're going to get blessed. I suggest that to begin with any of those passages is a false start. Is the focus money? Is the focus 10%? Is the focus robbing God? Is the focus experiencing God's blessings when we tithe and losing it when we don't tithe? I suggest to you that those are false starts. The real question that we must ask is the question, when we come to the question of tithe, we must ask the question, who is God? Who is God? The Scriptures, as we have been learning, tells us that God is holy, God is self-sacrificing, God is self-giving, God is forgiving, He is righteous, He is merciful, He is long-suffering, He is gracious, and He is just, and that's how He wants us to be in the world. And we have learned that God's holiness is for the benefit of human beings. And He manifests His holiness in the world to redeem us and to transform us. And that is where we need to begin. That is where we need to start when we raise the question of the holy tithe, of holy money. The question of who. You see, tithe is not a matter of stealing or not stealing from God. It is not a matter of recognizing or not recognizing His ownership in all things, but rather the question of the holy tithe has to do with being tuned. Being tuned to the holy and then connecting with that holiness. Like those walkie-talkies that you've heard me speak about that my family owns. We have 14 channels and 32 different privacy codes, which means there's 500 different options of tuning to one another. Holiness has to do with tuning into what is holy and getting on that same wavelength, connecting to it and making it a part of your own life. That's what holy tithe is all about. Because tithe is holy because it is in relation to who God is in the world. And God in the world is holy creator and holy redeemer and holy sustainer and holy high priest. Tithe is holy because it has been set apart. And we learned that the word holy means to be set apart. It means to separate from something and to be separated for something else. And tithe is holy because it has been set apart for what God is doing in the world. Tithe is holy because it has been set apart for what a holy God is doing in an unholy, common, lost, dying, dark, black, painful world. We've learned already that holiness has to do with evangelism and ministry, and God extends His holiness into an unworthy, unholy world through people like you and I, through His church. That's how God manifests His holiness in a world, to redeem that world, to give that world a sense of what is right and what is true and what is pure and what is eternal. And holy tithe is God's planned resource that enables holy people to be sustained in their holy work. It's not the money that is in view, but the human resource and the mission and the work. It is the holiness of God in an unholy, profane world of broken, hurting, sinful people. And that's why God says the tithe is reserved for me. The tithe is holy. And the tithe is so holy in the Scriptures. It is so holy that even those who benefit from the tithe, the priests, the pastor, the leaders in the church, that even those who would benefit from the tithe is so holy that even those who would benefit from it are called to return a tithe on the tithe. And why should any priest or pastor return tithe on tithe? But to be constantly reminded of a holy God who has a sacred work in the world of which they are a part. Holy tithe implies a separateness for a holy purpose. Tithe is linked to mission of the church, the mission of God in the world. The purpose of holiness is to bring honor to God by extending His holiness through our lives and our work into an unholy, lost world. Returning tithe recognizes that awesome, holy purpose in the world. And so I suggest to you this morning that there is a link between holy tithe and holy people. When we accept the holy, when we accept the reality of holy money, when we designate something as holy, we are drawn into the experience of the holy, and we participate in the holy, we partake of that holy. How does that happen? Because every time that you receive income, every time I receive income, we are confronted with the reality of the holy. God says that the first tenth of all of what we receive is holy. And so when we receive income, we are confronted with the reality of the holy, whether or not it exists. And whether or not it is important to us. Whether it is ultimate reality where eternity is headed. And every paycheck we receive confronts us with the question of whether or not we will affirm that holiness, whether we will support that holiness, whether we will partake of that holiness, whether we will participate in that holy work of a holy God in a common dying world. And so when we return tithe, we recognize that there is holy money. But beyond the reality of holy money, there are holy values. There is a holy work. And the church has a holy calling in the world. Tithe as holy reminds us that even the common does not belong to us. And when we return tithe, we're reminded that a holy God extends us everything. And we are brought into the realities of sacred work and sacred places and sacred mission and sacred ministry. As it's played out in Christian education and pastoral and evangelistic ministry and missions around the world. God's tithe is holy. Period. We cannot change that idea no matter how we feel about it, no matter what we can say. We cannot change that fact. The tithe is holy. We can only yield ourselves to the holy and make that distinction in our own lives and income. And that's why we as Seventh-day Adventist Christians, we go out of our way to preserve the integrity of the sacred tithe. It doesn't fix toilet seats. It doesn't put carpet in a building. It doesn't build buildings. It's reserved for human resource, people, and the work among people. But what about offerings? Most of us understand the difference between tithe and offering, do we? Is there a difference between tithe and offering? This passage in Leviticus that we're in appears in a larger discussion about vows and pledges, where individuals can designate their houses and their land and their animals as holy because it is separated out from everything else and then given to God for His glory and for His work on the earth. Like verse 14, Leviticus 27:14. Now, if a man consecrates his house as holy to the Lord. Or you have down here in verse 9, now if an animal of the kind which men can present as an offering to the Lord, any such that one gives to the Lord shall be holy. So here now you have individuals designating, you know, the tithe passes by and they say, God says this is holy. But you know, I love the work of God. I value what God is doing in the world. And you know what? The tithe is not enough. And so the individuals look around and they look at what they have and their resources and they say, now I am not only going to obey God and acknowledge that the tithe is holy, but I'm going to start designating things as holy. I'm going to declare things as holy too. Tithe has to do with obedience. Offerings has to do with shared values. Offerings reflect the values of our heart. God says the tithe is holy, but when we give beyond the tithe, we ourselves are designating something as holy in keeping with God and His holy purposes in our world. The offerings express the desires of our own heart to set apart something for the world, something for the sacred work of God in the earth. And so we have a host of ministries and programs and buildings and schools and missions that are strengthened and built up beyond the tithe. Why? Because unholy, unworthy people like yourself have been tuned to the holy. And have said, what is common, I am designating as holy because I believe what God is doing in this world. And I want to be a part of it. Every offering we bring becomes part of God's holy plan for our world. Did you know that? Every offering we bring becomes part of God's holy plan for this dying world. You've heard me say, I'm always amazed when I experience generosity, whether little bit or a lot, because I know the human heart is doing something that the human heart doesn't do on its own. And I know that some of the ministries that we run as a church, our Wellspring ministry, the expansion to our building, our support of Christian education, I know that that comes because some of us have laid awake at night, haunted with the needs of God's work, haunted with the needs of people. And we struggle in the darkness and we're praying and the Holy Spirit comes and speaks to us and says, you know, you can adjust your life here. You can change this trip. You can do this so that I can do this in the world, so that I can do this in that person's life, so that I can do that in that person's home, their marriage. That's what it means to be tuned to the holy and to experience the Holy Spirit and to say, I am going to consecrate this. I am going to designate this as holy along with the holy tithe because the work of God is holy and I want to be a part of it. Holiness means that we've embraced the radical new values of the kingdom of God. God's holy work is to be supported by people like you and I. And we will forever be confronted with the choice of our resources for the secular world, for ourselves, or for God and for others. Now, I just want to bring a moment of balance here, because if we study the principle of holiness and tithing and stewardship carefully, there's a relationship between the steward and the steward's own needs. God, as He gives us resources to strengthen His holy work in the world, He allows us to receive of those blessings for our own needs. And that is appropriate. And so with the holy, when we participate by designating some things as holy and we make it holy for God, we experience the holy in that process. You will remember a few weeks ago, we talked about the need to develop habits of holiness. And that the essence of holiness is intimacy with God. And beholding, we are changed. And when we establish those habits of holiness, the time of opening the Holy Word of God and inviting the Holy Spirit of God to come as we open the Holy Word of God, and how time to reflect and to meditate and worship is all part of holy habits that enable us to be transformed by the living presence of God. Now, I want to tell you today, I tell you with all my heart, that the habits of holiness include the holy tithe and designating beyond that portions of our income as holy as well. You will not grow and become holy like God if you hold back the holy tithe. You will not grow and become like God in the world if you do not choose on your own part to designate portions of your life as holy and dedicated to the cause of God. Ellen White puts it this way, the very act of giving expands the heart of the giver and unites him more fully with the Redeemer of the world. I like that. You want your heart expanded? You want to be connected to the Redeemer of the world? Not just for your own redemption, but to bring redemption to a lost world? I will suggest also that the very act of acknowledging the holy tithe and designating the holy from among our possessions and our resources and our talents and our gifts expands the heart. It expands the heart and unites us more fully with the holy God of heaven. That's what I want. I want that for myself. I want that for my family. I want that for our village family. I want us to give to God what is God's because He's holy and He's worthy of anything and everything that we could ever give Him. And beyond His worth is the power of His holiness to transform my own life and the power of His holiness to redeem the people around me that I care for, and the power of that holiness to change people in this dying world. You will remember when we started this journey, Peter says, I want you to be holy as I am holy, quoting Leviticus. God says, I want you to be holy like I am holy, and I know if you love me, you'll want to be like me. You'll remember how we went just a couple verses down later in Peter. Well, Peter says that we have been redeemed not with gold and silver and precious stones, but we have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, who has been surrendered Himself as a living, holy sacrifice. Unblemished. Pure. Such enables us to be holy and pure in the world. And that's where the calling comes. For us to tune towards the holy. Connect to holy. To recognize what is holy. And to use what is holy for holy purpose. And to allow the Spirit of God to draw out of our hearts holy desires to declare things holy, that a watching world will scratch their heads and wonder about. But spiritual things are spiritually discerned. And that holy sacrifice of Jesus enables us to know the difference.
You've been listening to another special American Cassette Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright 2004, American Cassette Ministries, all rights reserved. For additional cassettes or CDs by this speaker, or for a free catalog of other American Cassette Ministries resources, please contact us as follows. Visit our secure website at www.americancassette.org. Our entire catalog is online, plus thousands of other selections to choose from. We accept Visa, MasterCard, and Discover credit cards. Our email address is info@americancassette.org. To order toll-free in the United States and Canada, dial 800-233-4450. For international orders, dial 717-652-7000. For fax orders, dial 717-652-9050. Or you may simply write to American Cassette Ministries, Post Office Box 922, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, 17108, in the United States of America. Maintaining the integrity of the Three Angels' messages for 29 years, American Cassette Ministries requests your continued prayers and financial support as we strive to provide you with the finest, most powerful spiritual messages available. Our one purpose in ministry? To prepare you and your loved ones to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.